All right, here we go. Locked On Broncos podcast. I'm your new host of this show. My name is Adam Kinney. I'm a Denver sports media insider. I've covered the team for the last five seasons, and I am very excited to be here. I've been handed the keys to this Ferrari by Dave Logan and Brandon Cristall, and I'm going to make sure that we get home safe and sound each and every night. On this show, I plan to give you all of my insight, analysis, player interviews, coach interviews, instant reaction to the team. I've covered the team for the last five seasons, and I'm very excited to bring all of my insight to you each and every day here on this show. Let's get things started right off the bat. We'll start with the top story of the week, which has to be Trevor Siemian being named the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. Now, this doesn't really come as too much of a surprise to any of us, as just from what we've seen in the first 3 weeks of preseason football. We are 1 week away from NFL games mattering. Let's just let that sink in for a second. I'm just so excited about this. Labor Day weekend means the start of the NFL season, and it is here. And so the Broncos named their starting quarterback, and QB1 happens to be Trevor Siemian, who's going to be under center when the Broncos open the season next Thursday night at home for a Super Bowl 50 rematch with the Carolina Panthers. And the reason the Broncos chose to go in this direction is pretty obvious, and it's really just comes down to simply they needed to pick the guy who can ever protect the football the best, which in this case happens to be Trevor Siemian. Yeah, he's had some interceptions in preseason. In the last game, the third week against the Los Angeles Rams, that's still weird to say that, Siemian had a touchdown and an interception, kind of a mixed bag, kind of an overthrow on the pick, but you know, it's just going to happen. That's what happens in preseason football when you're trying to make a play down the field. But he's the guy that's been given the opportunity, at least at the beginning. And on the flip side of thing, Mark Sanchez lost himself this job with the two fumbles. Just in the way that the Broncos are going to try and operate all season long is use that incredible defense that's on their side and protect the football. So that's what Trevor Siemian's going to allow them to do. He's the more dependable guy, and he's going to be the babysitter, or maybe not. You know, I think that the Broncos are open to Siemian going out there and playing very, very well at a high level. It's not like he necessarily has to be labeled as a babysitter for Paxton Lynch, but that's the reason the Broncos brought in Paxton Lynch. Last week against the Rams, Siemian has 10 of 17 for 58% completion percentage, 122 yards in the air, and then one touchdown and one interception. Granted, on the drive in which he got the touchdown, the Rams starters on defense were pretty much out of the game for the most part. So it's a little difficult to really judge one way or another of, you know, how good he is in this offense. And the Broncos are throwing the ball a lot more in preseason than what they're going to be doing come September 8th when they kick off the season, because they're going to try and really pound the rock with C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker and whoever else they decide to put in the backfield and try and take as much pressure off of the quarterback and keep the defense off of the field as long as they possibly can. That's the way they're going to try and win games. And for right now, Gary Kubiak says that Trevor Siemian is the man to do that for them. A couple other things that came out this week, as mandated by the NFL, the Broncos had to cut down their roster to 75 players. They accomplished this on Monday afternoon, and they made a couple of transactions. We'll start with the big name here for the Broncos, and one of the longest tenured Broncos, honestly, and entering his eighth season this year, was Britton Colquitt. Colquitt released from the team, and the Broncos decide to go with the rookie that they drafted in the seventh round in Riley Dixon out of Syracuse instead over the seasoned vet. Now Colquitt's had some up and down times and spots throughout his tenure with the team, but he really pulled some things together, especially in that playoff run last year where you knew that he was going to be a dependable guy to pin the other team deep, or he did everything that he asked, and he was always a dependable holder on the team too. But this really just comes down to a salary dump. We heard rumblings last week that the Broncos were going to ask Colquitt to take a pay cut, and the two sides didn't really agree on that, and Colquitt frankly became expendable because of the ultra athletic player that they got in Riley Dixon in the NFL draft last year. That really intrigued John Elway. That's why he pulled the trigger late in the draft to do that. We saw some of the highlight videos of Dixon being able to do some other things. He's able to throw the football on some fake punts. He's able to run the ball on some fake punt runs. I mean, it's a really and I don't know how much the Broncos really get into that, but this is a salary dump, and so that's why Britton Colquitt is no longer the punter on the Denver Broncos. Another cut that came out this week was wide receiver Braylon Addison, who the Broncos took from Oregon. And Braylon kind of got the short end of the stick just because the way that the school year lines up for Oregon, because they're not on a traditional thing. So he wasn't actually able to come to mini camps and come to the OTAs and all the different things that's going to get these players ready. I mean, they obviously liked his athleticism too and his speed. They gave him a couple opportunities to return some kicks for the team, and that's just not going to shake out. And he's on, you know, this list of cuts here. Garrett Graham was added to the injured reserve, which I guess when you're looking at the tight end position as we were opening training camp during OTAs and during the mini camps this year, Garrett Graham was actually a guy that a lot of people figured would be a part of the makeup of this team just because he has some familiarity with what the Houston Texans did and what they may have gotten from Gary Kubiak. Could be a system tight end to plug and play, much like Owen Daniels was for the team last year. So this was the guy that the Broncos were going to try and bring in to replace Owen Daniels at a much cheaper clip. But the way that John Phillips, Virgil Green, and Jeff Heuermann have played this training camp had made Graham expendable, and Graham may have a chance to come back next year and compete in some aspects, and that's what the injured reserve is going to allow him to do. So, you know, he's not on the roster for now. Comes as a little bit of a surprise, but it's going to be due to some injury, and he may be waived eventually, just the way that some of these things work. And then the final cut that got the Broncos down to 75 players was offensive tackle Kyle Roberts, and that is the final batch of cuts this week, but we're going to see a slew of them come out on Saturday as the NFL rosters have to be down to 53 players come Saturday afternoon. So that's what the fourth preseason game is all about, when it is trying to solidify who those last 10 guys on your roster is going to be, and then also the players that are going to make the practice squad, picked up by waivers, all that's going to come to fruition in the next 10 days or so. Which means, as we're keeping an eye on who's going to make this team, that means that we're going to have to key in on a couple different position players that really can make an impact in this final preseason game. Who says the last preseason game doesn't matter? Because there are guys out there that are going to be competing on Thursday for their NFL dreams, and I'll give you a couple players to watch for. First and foremost, this is the low-hanging fruit of the bunch. We're going to talk about Paxton Lynch. Because Gary Kubiak said yesterday, Paxton is going to get the whole game. You're going to get to see four quarters of the potential quarterback of the future for the Denver Broncos. Now, this is interesting in so many ways, just because it's your first real glimpse of Lynch going out there trying to put a full game together. He's looked good in bursts all preseason long, all training camp long. And honestly, Trevor Siemian, he may be the best quarterback right now, but he's not the best quarterback on this team, certainly from just an athleticism standpoint. Siemian can throw the ball a little bit, but Paxton Lynch by far has the most intangibles of any of those three guys out there. So you're going to get to see four quarters of that. And the other thing that's so compelling about this, Mark Sanchez doesn't get to start in the third preseason game. And basically what the Broncos are saying, we've seen enough. We don't need to see any more of Mark Sanchez out there. Sanchez is going to be the emergency quarterback in case something happens to Paxton Lynch. Everybody, you know, is going to be holding their breath that doesn't have to come to fruition. So, I mean, Paxton Lynch effectively, he was not good enough to be named the starter, but he was good enough to, you know, kind of nudge the Broncos in the direction where, hey, Mark Sanchez probably isn't going to make this team at this point. And so if Lynch plays poorly enough, maybe the Broncos will rethink that. But with $4.5 million that the Broncos have on the line potentially to save if they waive or release Mark Sanchez, and they'll also get back that seventh round draft pick. It was a conditional pick. He had to make the roster for the Broncos to sacrifice that to the Eagles. So, I mean, it's really a no-brainer there. But you're going to get to see four quarters of Paxton Lynch, and I think that's worth tuning in for anyway. That's worth the price of admission for you when the Broncos play the Cardinals in this final preseason game Thursday night. The next group I want to get to is the running backs here, and this is where another one of the most compelling storylines. You know, C.J. Anderson solidified himself on top of the depth chart, obviously, with what he was able to do last year and then the contract that he got during the offseason. And so with the Broncos drafting Devontae Booker, you know, that kind of has a clear mind of who their number two guy is in their mind. So there's really, depending on how you're looking at the 53-man roster, and I'll do that on one of the next episodes, probably on Friday. I'll get into preview my 53-man roster before the cuts come out. And depending on where you're saying the Broncos are going to be sitting as far as their depth chart stands with how many running backs they're going to keep on the roster, I think most people are only going to keep three, although, you know, at the running back position with the injuries and the injury history with C.J. Anderson, they may want to keep four. That said, though, there may only be one spot available, and Juwan Thompson, Ronnie Hillman, and Capri Bibbs are all going to be fighting for that. And as much as Ronnie Hillman's done over the last 18 months to, you know, really show that he could be a solid number two running back. You know, he came in when C.J. Anderson went down last year. He had a great game, you know, on a couple instances. In week 17 against the Chargers last year, he rushes for a career-high 117 yards. You know, that's the game that got them into the number one seed in the playoffs. You know, if Ronnie Hillman doesn't have that performance in that game, you know, Peyton Manning may end up losing that game. They may switch back to Brock. There's just a million things that could have happened. So Ronnie Hillman was a big part of this team last year. And, yeah, people are kind of down on him because he may not have lived up to the hype that everybody would have wanted. But he's pretty much done everything that he's been asked of, you know, once he learned how to control the football and not put the ball on the ground. That said, you know, it looks like this is Capri Bibbs' roster spot to lose. Gary Kubiak said that all offseason heading into training camp that he wanted to get a good look at Capri, and he doesn't have any practice squad eligibility, which is a big, big reason why he may end up sticking on this roster more so than the veteran Ronnie Hillman. There's so much interest and intrigue with what everyone's so familiar with what Capri did at CSU that might be worth keeping him on the roster in and of itself because there's no practice squad eligibility left. The last guy that I mentioned is Juwan Thompson, who I think is intriguing mainly just because of his versatility. He's going to be the backup fullback on this roster, and he could be your third or fourth string running back, and he could come in and get you eight carries for 33 yards and a couple of touchdowns when in a pinch. I mean, he could be that guy that really just puts his nose to the dirt and gets you in the end zone and get that grind them out yardage. So I think that any of these guys is going to be a really fun thing to watch in this last preseason game here against the Cardinals. I'll flip over to the other side of the ball, and really the thing I'm going to be tuning in for the most on the defensive side is in the secondary, namely the safety position, because Shiloh Kao, who Broncos sign off of Twitter essentially last year when he tweets Wade Phillips, hey coach, I'm looking for a job. They bring him in, and yeah, he had some mistakes early on against the Raiders in that game here in Denver last year, but he also comes up big in the championship game. He's the one who recovers the onside kick, you know, against the New England Patriots that sends the Broncos to the Super Bowl. And then we didn't really know if KO was going to be around because of the DUI thing that he had celebrating the Super Bowl win in his home state of Idaho, I believe, early in the offseason. Turns out he comes into camp, and he's kind of been really one of the vets of these guys vying for a spot at the safety position because there's so many young guys. So him and Ryan Murphy are kind of the vets that are trying to get that final roster spot and maybe kind of play a David Bruton-type role where he's that third safety that comes in certain situations. He could either cover a tight end, cover a running back, or he could play up in the box and try and, you know, disrupt something there in the backfield. So that's kind of the role that they're looking for, and they're fighting for that because, you know, your four safeties are pretty much solidified here with T.J. Ward, Darian Stewart, and then the Broncos draft Will Parks and Justin Simmons, who have both looked great all throughout training camp. And, I mean, everybody can't sing the praises loud enough for Justin Simmons and what he's been able to do coming out of Boston College. So there's really one spot left for either of those two guys. That's kind of what I'm looking for on the defensive side of the ball. So there are some things to watch for in this final preseason game as the Broncos will wrap things up with the Arizona Cardinals, which seems like they do that every year. It's always the Cardinals in that fourth preseason game. So it seems like whether it's in Denver or whether it's in Arizona, they're always wrapping up against the Redbirds there. Before we get out of here, I want to touch on one other story, and I'll try and do this from time to time. I mean, this obviously is the Locked On Broncos podcast, but, you know, I just want to talk about one of the bigger stories around the NFL right now that kind of shook everybody yesterday, and that's just the news of Teddy Bridgewater tearing his ACL yesterday. And what a shame that is, just for football in general. And everybody makes fun of the preseason and says, you know, how terrible that they're playing these extra games and they're putting their players at risk. And really, the fact of the matter is, and this is exactly the point in case here with Teddy, is this can happen at any time, at any place, because this was a non-contact drill that he was doing in a practice with the Minnesota Vikings. They called off practice with 20 minutes to go, and, you know, it turns out that Teddy Bridgewater, he tears his ACL and also suffers some structural damage to his knee. And really one of the promising young stars of the league. I mean, we saw him really come out and be a leader for the Vikings down the stretch last year. It leads them into the playoff game, that wonderful game with the, you know, negative 16 degrees that they played there. You know, one of their final outdoor games in Minnesota. Now they have this brand new stadium, but, you know, really put the Vikings back on the map as a contender in the NFC North, and they're going to be without him. Sean Hill's going to be the starting quarterback, and it's just a shame to see things happen like this when they're just complete freak accidents, and that's what people in Denver are all too familiar with you know, potentially ending careers and cutting them short, and really some promising things. So all the best to Teddy Bridgewater, and make sure you're tuned in to the Locked On Vikings podcast, you know, our affiliate partner here on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Sports Podcast Network. And they'll get you all the news and updates for Teddy B and the Minnesota Vikings. All right, that's going to wrap things up here on our next episode. It's going to be coming to you on Friday, and I'll get you my 53-man roster prediction as well as my thoughts and insights on that final preseason game. I'll give you some grades of what I thought I saw from Paxton Lynch, Ronnie Hillman, and Capri Bibbs, among other things. Make sure you're subscribing, sharing, liking, telling everybody about the Locked On Broncos podcast, and follow me on Twitter at Adam Kinney Radio. Tell me what you think of the show. I'd love to get your thoughts, and I'd love to interact with you. So until next time, this has been the Locked On Broncos podcast on the Locked On Sports Podcast Network.